It was 41 years ago today when the volcano blew Mount St. Helens. It was one of the biggest local news stories of my lifetime. And even though 41 years isn't a landmark anniversary, an old friend got in touch with me a few weeks ago on the 20th anniversary of the mountain blowing, a guy named Anthony Cabrera. He came on this show, told me his story. It was fascinating. And I said, let's do it again on the anniversary. So Anthony Cabrera joins us once again on the Dory Monson Show. Anthony, good to talk to you again, my friend.
How are you doing, Dory?
I'm good. So we got to get right into this because I know you have a lot of details in what happened. But let's start with, what did you do when you heard and saw that the mountain had blown?
Okay. Because I'm a Vietnam veteran, I was outside. I have a big garden. I was out in the garden. It was early in the morning, and I was doing my work, and I heard an explosion, like a howitzer in Vietnam. Yeah. when a rock goes over the top of you. And I knew the mountain had exploded. I just knew it. So I went up, took my ladder, put it up to the garage, went up to the top of the house, and I looked in the mountain, toward the distance of Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
And there I saw smoke starting to come up. I jumped off the roof. I told my girlfriend at the time, Mary, to jump in the car. I grabbed our boxer dogs. I had a radio, a transistor radio. My radio in the Volkswagen didn't work. And I said, we're going to go see this mountain. We're going to see what God's doing for us. So we jumped in the car, and we started taking off on I-5. We got down to Chehalis and Centralia, and the I-5 was blocked. So we got off I-5, and there was a line trying to go into Centralia, and there was a policeman there. We got to the policeman, and he told me to stop, so I stopped. And all of a sudden on his radio, it came up on the road. Nobody could go on I-5 at all. His radio said, there was a car crash. So he had to jump in the car, took off, and I just went by him. He didn't even see me. I got back on I-5. I was the only one on I-5. It looked like the world had come to an end. There was nobody on both sides of the freeway. We got down to Toledo. I got off the road. I got into Toledo. Here's another cop. Another cop, and he's blocked the bridge, so you can't go towards Mount St. Helens. Well, he's sitting there and talking, and I didn't know what to say to him. So I'm watching, and there was nobody around, and the waitress came out of the cafe and said, hey, your coffee's ready. So he took off. I went fast as truck. I went fast as car across the bridge, and I headed out towards my. I could see the mountain on and off. I could see the smoke.
Okay, but let me ask something, Anthony, because everybody else was running away from the volcano. Why were you going into it, toward it?
I'm a believer in God, and I wanted to see what God was doing. I wanted to see the spectacular creation of this something I would have never seen. And so it was just in me. I had to go see
it.
Okay,
all right.
And so I took off across the bridge, and I'm going down, and now it's little. It's like a little foggy. It's not really thick. There's ash in here, but I'm just booking along, and there's nobody on the road. And, oh, man, then I see the blinking light, and there's a four-way intersection, and here's a state patrolman. And he blocks me. He stops me and says, where are you going, son? And I said, I'm going to see the mountain. And he says, well, you can't. You have to turn around. I said, oh, come on, please. I said, look, I'm a young Christian. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I've never seen anything like it. Is there any way I could get closer just to see this? And so he looked right, left, all around him. He says, don't tell you what, son. I'm going to let you go, but you don't tell nobody.
That's amazing.
You'll go down and you'll come down through the bridge, and there'll be a bridge with news reporters, and they won't let you go beyond there. So I said, oh, thank you. He says, hurry up, get in the car, go. And I jumped in the car. And I took off and left him behind. Okay, so while I'm going down right before the bridge, I had to go pee really bad.
Sure.
So I pull over to the side of the road, and while I'm taking a leak, right in front of me, the mountain, a big hole opens up, and I can see the mountain clearly. right in front of him. It's just like a percolator. I mean, like a steam presser. It just went straight up. And so I jumped back, and when I went to the bathroom, I didn't even think about it. My girlfriend, I don't know if she had to go to the bathroom or not.
Wow.
Anyway, I jumped.
Okay.
Back.
Maybe that's why she's your ex-girlfriend.
I've been married now for 29 years.
Okay.
Beautiful woman. And have a beautiful daughter.
Okay.
And so I jumped back into the car, and here we came to the Toodle River Bridge. And there was a reporters on it. There was a cop in the middle of it. And he was telling me to stop, but I didn't listen to him. I'm Italian. So I went ahead and went right to the middle of the bridge. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I wanted to see what everybody was looking." He said, "Didn't you see me?" And I said, "Yeah, I saw you." And so he said, "You'll go ahead, go straight ahead, turn around, and go back the way you came." So I went. But he was so busy. The reporters came up to him. He was so excited about what he was doing, Mr. Policeman. And so I went over there, and I pulled over the side of the road, and I looked. He didn't even care about me. I wasn't even existing anymore.
Yeah.
So I looked, and all of a sudden, here comes this truck in front of me, just loaded with ash. I mean, sand. Looked like somebody threw sand on top of his truck. And he was one of the loggers, and he was yelling out the car out of his truck, saying, "Oh, man, you won't believe it, man. Everything's messed up." So I got out of the car, and I went down, and then I looked down at what they were looking at, and the water had totally disappeared out of the river. It was like the tide went out. There was all the rocks were exposed. There was no water in the river at all.
And that's because something had dammed it upriver from the volcano blowing?
Right. That was everybody's guess. And then somebody shouted, there's a wall of river coming down. There's a wall of river coming down. And the people and the reporters, they got their cameras going and they're waving away. And I thought, man, I got to see this. I ran back there. The guy was still talking. And he said, the reporter said to him, "Well, how'd you get out of there?" And I said, "I got out of 1049. I always remember that. So it's Logging Road 1049. So they also, I jumped in the car and snuck back by them. And I went the little head, and there it was, 1049. I made it right. Now I'm on a logging road. And I'm going up this logging road, and I'm going as fast as I can. Here I got this Volkswagen, and it's bumpy. They got rocks all over the place. I went up and up and up and up, and then it came to the left. I made the left. I figured, well, that's where the mountain is. That's where I'm going. And I continue going, and I start going. Now I see the mountain. On and off, I see the mountain. Then the trees would get in the way. Then I see the mountain. And then I kept, so I made a left. I came to a dead end. Turn around. Kept going. Made another dead end. And I just kept going and going and going until I got to the main road, like logging road. And I went left because then I could see the smoke, but it was so foggy in the where I was at. And then it cleared. I made a left and I start heading towards the mountain.
You told me there about something like a chocolate river that you saw.
Oh man, we're getting to it.
Okay, I remember.
I made a left, and right, I mean, exactly right in front of me, here's Mount St. Helens, and it is just, it's so quiet. There is no noise, and there's lightning bolts coming out of the ash, but no noise, no thunder, just lightning bolt, blue after blue after blue, and it's right from, and it was just like, I couldn't believe all that was coming out of this mountain. It was going straight up like full blast. So I went ahead. I still had to go. So the road went to the left. I went down. I started going down a hill. And now we start hitting into some trees. And I looked down there and we stopped. And I thought, I saw this river. And it was like sort of dried up. And it was sort of chocolatey, but not. It wasn't very big. It was like a creek. And it was, the water was down in it too. But the water was chocolatey. So we got out of the car. I parked. I sort of up on the hill a little bit. We walked down, and here right in front of us was this cement bridge that the loggers used. And so there's like the water going by was chocolatey. So I figured it was, you know, mud and things from Mount St. Helens. You know, it had blown up and the water. Well, I could hear noise to the right, and it was like creaking and creaking, but I couldn't see anything. And so we're standing there, and the water, all of a sudden, it starts getting wider and wider, and now it's going up to the top of the bottom of the bridge. and it's starting to go by really fast, and these big rocks are floating in this water. Unreal. And here comes this huge rock, and I went, so we backed up, and then this rock hit this bridge, and it blew up. It was a part of the ice cube from the glacier. It was they were melted, and they looked like brown rocks.
Wow.
And it hit, and ice shattered all over the place. And I thought, oh, man, those are rocks. And so we backed up, and I threw a rock into the thing, and it was just like chocolate milk. And so we backed up, and while we're standing there, all of a sudden I hear the creaking again. We look to our right, and the whole forest floor. Now, get you, these are old trees.
Yeah.
They hadn't cut these down. The whole forest floor started going up. All the ground started going up and started raising up. What? We turned around, ran up the hill.
How much was it raising up? I mean, are you talking inches or feet or what?
When it was at least a foot. I mean, the whole thing was, but the trees were moving up. And I thought, oh, no. And so we turned around, and when we ran up the hill, the forest went back down. Then I heard the cracking. And I looked, I could see through the trees, and I saw this huge, probably half the size, well, not that. I sometimes exaggerated with that. But it must have been 100 or 150 feet high of broken trees, torn up trees on top of each other. It was a dam. And I could see it, and it was moving all the way across the valley. It was moving, and you could see spots in it where chocolate milk was coming out. It was like the water wanted to come through. It was backed up, and it was moving and moving and moving. And I said, uh-oh. I said, oh, no. I said, and when we were saying that, there were a little part of it broken. Here comes, I said, we got to get out of here. So we jumped back in the, by the way,
yeah.
While we're there, two drunk guys came down. And they're from Seattle, and they're going to take all these pictures and become millionaires. I don't know if they ever took pictures. They must have. They were drunk. And then, so they jumped back in the car, went up, and we jumped back in. I told them, look what's after the sport. It went back down, started coming back up. We jumped in the car, turned around, and we went back up the hill, and I am just booking. Because all I could think about, that bridge is going to be wiped out, and we're not going to get out of here.
Yeah.
And so I'm just booking, and I'm booking. And here's this big rock in the way, and I hit it in the headers of my Volkswagen. It hit the headers, came off, and I had to jump into the car because it's going, bah! And so I had to get out of there. I had to tighten up the clamps so I could drive because it was really, it bugged me. And so I jumped back in the car, and I'm booking, and all of a sudden I hear it. I was a chopper medic in Vietnam, and I hear, bum, 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 bum. I said, oh, man, I'm in trouble. And so I'm booking it, and all of a sudden this Huey goes right over the top of me. And I went, oh, man, I'm in trouble. And no, he went ahead, and then I said, oh, praise God, he's leading us out of here. So I'm booking, and I'm following him, and I come around the corner, and there he is, turned around, faced me with his front up, like, you're not going anywhere. Oh, I look over to the right, here's another road. He's leading out of here, Barry. He's leading us out of here. So I took off on that road, and he goes over the top of the road. He's booking. I said, he's leading us out of here. Praise God. See, we came down here. We're getting out of here. And so we're getting and I come around another corner. Guess what? There he is again. Turn around. And I know what they do in Vietnam. I was in the chopper medic. I was around a lot of choppers.
Yeah.
And I said, he was stopping me. So I turned around. And there's another road, and I go and I start booking. I slammed on the brake. I came to, and then he got down behind me, landed, and in front of me, he brought me to one of these brownie rounds where they pull the logs up. And they park and they bring their logs up, like on a tripod. And so that's where the logger truck loaded up. And I got out of the car and I said, oh, man, I said, I got to get out of here. He said, you're not going anywhere, son. I said, everybody's calling me son today. I said, let me look. I said, I got a rabbit home. I got a rabbit tree. I got a bunch of rabbits that are having babies. And I said, I need to get home. He said, you're not going anywhere. You got to get into the chopper. I said, I'm not getting into the chopper. I said, I know how to get out of here. You're not going to get out of here. All the river has to wipe all the roads up. I went, oh, man. So I had a potato sack, and I put my tools in there, and I had an air pump in there. My Volkswagen had a low leak, and I kept brought a foot pump, air pump, and I kept that in there, and an extra thing of oil. So we jumped in there. I grabbed our two boxers. I grabbed the radio. The whole time now, I'm listening to Cairo.
Yeah, of course you are.
And they're telling me what's going on, and I'm trying to stop to the radio. You guys don't know what's happening. And so I got the radio. I turned the radio. Said, you got to turn it off. I turned it off. I grabbed the radio, grabbed the potato sack, Mary Kay. We got the boxers. We got in the chopper. We sat in the back, and we started taking off. And I was so excited, like right now. I was so excited. We start going in. He says, where are we going? He says, we're going to Kelsor. We're going to Kelsor High School. And I says, oh, no. I said, wait a minute. There's a couple guys that are drunk, and they're just like me. They're out here in their woods somewhere. And I said, they're drunk, and they think they're going to be millionaires by taking all these pictures. They said, and so he told the pilot. The pilot turned us around, and now we start searching for these guys. It was real easy to find because in between the forest, there's like a road, and there's trees on both sides. And here, these guys are booking. They're afraid.
So you were able. Yeah, I'm sorry to say, man. I think we're about up to our limit here. But did you guys pick up the two drunks too? Then
we picked up the two drunks, and he was shouting at me. He wasn't going to leave his brand new car and all that. We picked up the drunks really quick. We went to Kelso. We get to school. I talked a guy into bringing me to Kelso Airport. Got to the Kelso Airport. And here a general comes down. He ignores me. He's got his waves, got his special nice green helicopter, takes off. I see this colonel in one of the choppers, and he's getting ready to take off. I run up to him, and I ask him if he's going to Fort Lewis. And I told him about the babies. I have four baby rabbits that have given birth this morning, and I need to be there. He says, get your stuff, son. It's just I'm another son again.
Son.
So we stuck him there. And I got a chopper ride all the way back to Fort Lewis.
We called up
Mary's sisters. I came home, and all the four mothers had their babies, and they were run out of water almost, and they were out of food. And well, that's pretty much the end of that story.
Anthony, I have missed you, man. It's been way too long.
It doesn't quit. I went to the warehouse that gave me the key. I eventually rode my bicycle down there. Couldn't find it. Then I got a guy at my neighbor's Bronco, went down there, opened up the key, found the car, a long story. Drove the car out, and it's a long story. I brought the car home.
The V-dub started right up, even with all that ash?
And it blew out, and all of the Volkswagen was totally covered with sand.
Yeah.
I mean, just for, and so I drove it home, and the tire didn't go flat either. Usually it's flat every 2 days, and it was there for a while.
Wow.
And so I got home. My neighbor said, and by that time I bought two bicycles from Bikes and Boats, and I was doing things by bicycle. I had a mountain bike, and so did Mary. And so I went, he bought the Volkswagen for me. It seized up the day after. I got the money, bought the bike, and everything was great.
Okay. Well, Anthony, it's almost like the mountain blew today. You took us right back 41 years ago.
Oh, I see it all. There's a lot more of it. I had to shorten it up. Sorry.
I know. I understand. Well, I appreciate that. Well, let's stay in touch. This might have to make this a May 18th tradition on the show, okay?
Sure, that'd be fine with me. I'm 70 years old now.
I'm going to be 60 this year. We were both a couple of kids when we last talked.
Yeah, I'm still a kid.
Yeah, I am too. All right, Anthony, you're the man.
Okay. Thank you,
brother. Love talking to you.